Hello, and welcome to the Marketing Experiments Web Clinic Audio Replay Podcast. Marketing Experiments is an internet marketing research laboratory. The web clinic you are about to hear was broadcast live to an international audience of marketing professionals. Sign up to be invited to future web clinics, as well as gain access to all of our online marketing research at marketingexperiments.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. We begin again yet another one of these clinics. This one is on reducing cart abandonment. It's different in as much as we will show you how optimizing later in the process can produce a dramatic return. In fact, some of the key case studies that we'll be reviewing are surprising. You might note that very tiny changes in the right location with even tiny conversion improvements can achieve millions of dollars in value. There's a case study coming up that will show you the test itself produced $53 million in revenue from a small change in the cart. I'm going to tell you a lot about that. You can join us in the conversation on Twitter using hashtag WebClinic. We are being able to bring all of this research to you today because of the support from Listrack, and we're very grateful that they made it possible. I'd like to skip my bio, go straight to an experiment, and begin. You'll see that this is from our library, Test Protocol 1758, and it is a company offering competitively priced, easily accessible storage space. The goal is to increase the number of visitors that complete a storage reservation through their website. So we're looking for a checkout page that will produce the highest reservation rate. Let's look at the control. There it is. Audience, help me. Think about this cart and tell me what you might do to improve its results. In fact, you can use the Q&A feature of your GoToMeeting tool in order to communicate the optimization suggestions that you might want to make with regards to this cart. Are you satisfied with the headline? What do you think about the button? What do you think about the design of the three steps, the fields themselves? What are your thoughts? Condense the steps, says Maynard. And many of you, someone says change the block colors. Someone says a better headline. Graham says green, call to action. Is it readable? Mark says it's confusing. Libby says the page is busy. Poonam says this seems like the third step, but the content is the first step. Gail says a larger button. Barry says a larger button. Joanna says the button is too far. I can't even keep up, you know, as hundreds of your suggestions are coming in. But we are tracking your suggestions and thinking about them and studying them to see how our audience is actually processing what we've been teaching all these years, or what is their level of optimization ability. So thank you. By the way, Dave, it's good to see you again. I recognize that name, Dave Fogel. He says start all over. And the rate is hidden, says Josh. Well, these are all thoughts from the audience. This is the second version. We'll talk about the differences in just a moment, but you can see version A and you can see version B, and it is only an iteration. It's not really a radical redesign. It is a minor improvement to validate a specific hypothesis about the customer. But what does this produce? Well, on the surface, just a 9% increase in conversion. But in terms of real revenue, we're talking about $3 million. Now, the case study is carefully chosen, not because of a 9% improvement, not necessarily because of the $3 million. In fact, you'll look at case studies in a few minutes that are greater and in terms of the revenue impact and some that are lesser. But more importantly, to demonstrate something that none of us want to miss. In our cart is one of the greatest opportunities to impact the P&L. The cart is in the mature part of the funnel as you move further through the process, and yet most of us spend our energies improving the landing page and some other form, our paid search ad. We start out at the wider part of the funnel. Today we're going to talk about how to dramatically improve the cart itself, the checkout process, your pathway, and in doing so, how to drive significant yield. And in fact, recover the money that's leaking as I speak to you right this moment. We did an interesting study in our own research with our sister company, Marketing Sherpa. We benchmark across 36,000 companies in Marketing Sherpa. In fact, the number's over 40,000 now. And you'll notice something. The shopping cart is one of the most strategic aspects of a conversion process, and yet many people are ignoring it. It is ranked lowest by marketers on what they spend their time on optimizing. Do you see the dotted lines and how they focus on that aspect of the cart? Look at the difference in attention. This is highlighting a major problem that drives the reason we're spending this time with you. These few minutes trying to help you achieve as much as you can in terms of dramatic gains. So let's go forward. Shopping carts, here's the first key principle, are not just a utility. They are the strategic means by which you, the marketer, maintain cognitive momentum generated in the conversion process. Now that word cognitive momentum is quite important. What's happening is the velocity of the person moving through the funnel increases as you reduce friction and increase value. Think of your marketing efforts being part of a push-pull process. The motivation of someone, their incoming motivation, provides the push that moves them into the funnel. But even as they are pushed into the funnel, you, the marketer, you do not drive traffic, you attract traffic. In doing so, you are pulling, and you're pulling them by getting them through each single micro yes, greater and greater levels of interest, appealing them and attracting them one step at a time. So the person moving in this process has the internal push that comes from their own motivation, but that internal push picks up velocity as you improve your external pull. And it is the push and the pull that leads them through the funnel, and that creates cognitive momentum. You do not want that to slow down. When it slows down, conversion slows down. So, what do you optimize for in a shopping cart? Do you try to improve these results with a better design? Do you try to improve by focusing on the metrics at each particular point? Do you try to improve by measuring the revenue impact of each change? Well, all three of these are important, but the real issue, what you really should be driving for, is trying to improve the cognitive momentum. The overall objective of a shopping cart is to get as much forward momentum as possible from the product page all the way forward to the thank you page. Cart abandonment occurs when cognitive momentum is mitigated or obstructed. So, we're going to walk through four reasons why your own customers are losing momentum in their checkout process. I would venture to say that for all of these years that we've been working on this sort of research, and for those of you that don't know much about Mech Labs, we're the oldest laboratory in the world studying the decision process through the Internet. It is our laboratory, the most remarkable laboratory in the world. The net itself is the laboratory. It allows us to peer into the decision process of thousands upon thousands of people. We've conducted 10,000 plus path experiments to try to understand some things that we're teaching you today. We've sent 1 billion emails and measured the results in a series of experiments. And we've interviewed over 500,000 key leaders. We've recorded and analyzed 5 million phone calls. All of this, you know, to try and get answers to the questions that we're teaching in these clinics. And this is one of those times when we share with you some of our research findings. So let's do that in the form of these four keys. And knowing that at the very moment I'm speaking, people are probably moving through your funnel. Some are coming into your cart. And you're leaking revenue, costly revenue. We want to stop that. We want to plug those leaks. We're sort of glorified plumbers trying to help you get this problem solved. And as we think about it, let's talk about the first reason that our funnels are underperforming: unwarranted confusion. Confusion is the chief impediment to conversion. And in the shopping cart, it often stems from a feeling of disorientation. For every transition in the conversion process, the visitor sort of has a moment of orientation where they pause and they wonder if they're in the right place, if they just did the right thing. They're trying to make sense on at least two levels. Where am I and what am I supposed to do now? And this even occurs when they first hit the landing page. They're not sure they're on the right page when they come out of the search engine or even when they follow a link on your site. You say, well, everybody knows they're in Microsoft when they're on Microsoft's site. Yes, but have you tried to find something on Microsoft? And if you ever found yourself confused, or have you gone to try and deal with a problem at your bank or with your cellular phone company and still not been sure that you're in the right place and not actually sure what you can do there. It's that same experience of disorientation that is hurting many of our shopping carts. Let me give you an example. In these 7 seconds, you've got to answer 3 questions, 2 of which I'm talking about right now, and you can see that reflected in this particular experiment, Test Protocol 1621. Here, the partner is a sort of one-stop vacation planning organization. They have a solution online that allows you to book vacation rentals, and the goal was to increase final vacation bookings. This is a particularly apt illustration because we're talking about a complex process that involves booking multiple components. So notice, if you would, the control cart, and tell me, audience, what would you do to improve the results of this particular page? So I'm watching, and let's sort of hear your thoughts as you measure both the efficacy of the page and as you try to diagnose it to discover where it might be leaking performance. Someone says break it into steps and don't put the payment on the same page. Somebody says break up the form. Somebody says reduce the number of pages. And Dave says too many fields. And Paul says arrange vertically. And Chad says make it linear. And Heather says vertical steps. And Ray says 2 buttons with a question mark. And Adin Poonam says why are there 2 buttons? And they said they're confused with the right hand grayed out. And somebody says a bar graph of the steps. Well, let me show you some of the things that our analysts and scientists discovered. We first of all hypothesized that the original cart being broken into 2 steps was creating a lack of clarity in terms of the way it flowed horizontally. So often in this testing process that goes on in our laboratory, we begin with an observation. What you see on the screen behind me is an observation. We convert the observation into a potential point of wisdom. Now, it's not true wisdom yet. We have to test it. But we're looking to understand how the customer's thinking. And we hypothesize what these 2 steps are doing in the mind of the customer. And the goal of the test is not just to get some sort of lift, but to get a clear understanding as to how the customer's thinking, to convert that potential wisdom into actual wisdom. And so we notice these points, and we start to build out a more robust hypothesis. And you can see here that the horizontal flow, as well as the blue shading, makes it very difficult for visitors to get a sense for the sequence of the cart. And so, with those thoughts in mind, we begin a new treatment, and this is treatment A. And you can see that a simple step indicator is added. And you can see that the treatment is sequenced into 2 steps vertically. And so, let's look at the control and the treatment side by side, and as you do, ask yourself, which one of these will produce the greatest clarity? Because again, we're trying to eliminate confusion. Here's what the results tell us. With the new page, we're able to achieve a 36% increase in cart conversion. Now, I just want you to stop for a moment and think about that. What would that mean to you if you were to go home today or back to your offices or wherever it is that you're, you know, going to be working in the next 24 hours and able to sort of engineer a 36% improvement in completions within the cart itself? For many companies, it would have an astronomical impact on the P&L. Look at this company. What they saw was that by simply bringing greater clarity, they could get more people to the macro yes, the final purchase. Now, as you think of it that way, let's just remind you, not this, but this. A 9% increase, and as you may recall, $3 million. And not this, but this. And a 19% increase. Now let's look at the second impediment, unexpressed value. I'll explain. Look at a test protocol, 1789. This is a newspaper selling subscriptions for home delivery. The goal is to increase the subscription rate. We want more people to buy subs. So here is the control page. The control is the original page. It's their highest performing page. And we have to analyze that, looking for possibilities in terms of improvement. And the page has a sort of, well, it there's a number of impediments to proper conversion. And so we use a heuristic, we analyze that, we make observations, and then we convert those into hypotheses, which we reflect in a treatment. And here's what we see in the treatment. We adjust the copy and the imagery to emphasize the value proposition of the offer. we add copy after each option that emphasizes the amount of money that they're saving. The call to action doesn't seem to be clear in the original, so we make it very clear in the new treatment. And credibility indicators are carefully placed at just the right part in the thought journey, the thought sequence, where someone might be hesitating. Now, in fairness, this doesn't require different programming. This is simple. These are changes that have to do with graphics and design, and for the most part, they're very easy to perform. Let's look at the two pages side by side. The control is here. The treatment is here. What are we trying to achieve here? We want more people to complete the process. What do we achieve here? 101% increase in total cart conversions. Now, those were small changes. Our scientists called them tweaks. I don't know if that's an official scientific term. I don't know if you can actually be a MechLab scientist and use the word tweak, but apparently we've begun to do so. These tweaks, I'm speaking, if you can't hear me, to Paul Cheney, one of the writers on this, and he's in the studio with me, and I have endless amusement in teasing him. The bottom line is the treatment generates a significant result, but it does so with just small changes, and these small changes emphasize the value. So often, we think that the person has made the decision when they click the purchase button or the reservation button or the subscription button. And because of that, we stop talking about value and we just direct them. Do this, do that, do this. Thank you very much. Do not move from explanation to simple direction. If you do that, you will leave them to sort of retain the full impact of the value that they started to perceive in the earlier part of the funnel. But value, just like vision, leaks, and you must remind them through every single step of the process. Keeping that in mind, let's learn some of the key principles here. Visitor motivation peaks just prior to checkout. At the same time, the cost, and I don't mean price, material and mental, experienced by the visitor is usually the greatest at this moment. Now, you have peaked, and they're now going to go into the high-cost zone of the thought sequence. Do you really want to lead them into the high-cost zone without emphasizing the value again so that you can tip the fulcrum properly? By the way, Jan, I've noticed there's so many people that attend these clinics, but some names just come up over and over again. And I see Jan, I see you on this clinic, and she typed in tweakology. And that sounds to me like an important new science term that we're going to have to add. You know, ology is from the Greek word logos, and it means study of. So that is the study of tweaks. Maybe that's the business we're really in. All right, so I go on to number two. One of the main reasons for cart abandonment is that we assume the motivation generated by the offer page is sufficient, that it's going to overcome the resistance in the checkout process. But marketers must ensure that value is being expressed continuously, especially with every action you require me to take. So, not this, but this. What's the difference? 87% conversion. Not this, but this. What's the difference? 10% in conversion. Let's go on. Impediment number three, unaddressed anxiety. So there's often latent or hidden anxiety in our processes. And if we don't identify it and overcorrect it, particularly in the cart where anxiety is at its all-time highest, we're losing and we will continue to lose. So let's look at a test protocol, 1070. It's a national computer hardware and multimedia retailer. They have a significant online and offline presence. The goal is to increase total cart conversions and revenue per cart. You've probably been into one of their offline stores. Most of you on this call probably have hardware that was purchased at some point through them. Now, as you look at this sort of protocol, let's shift to the actual control. This is the cart. And so talk to me for just a moment and tell me how you might improve this page. I'm watching as your results come in or as your suggestions. Dave, I see who you think it looks like, and you are correct, but I cannot identify that. Number two, it needs a product image, says Libby. Too much going on, says Pete. Start all over, says someone else. Too busy, says Shauna. Remove the ads, says someone else. Lots of clutter, says Mike. Two checkouts is the question mark. Remove distraction, says Paul. Eliminate the right column, says someone else. And too many offers for something else, says Dave. Dave, you're right. And remove the ads from the cart, says Chris. And product description confusion, says Adam. And friction, 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 says Joshua. And it's cluttered, says Mary. And why go back left to continue, says Graham. And too much information in the offers. And on your suggestions come in. Well, we looked at this. And we formed a treatment that focuses on reducing anxiety. The original focuses on the upsell. The new version focuses on reducing anxiety. And there are several changes we make, and they're pretty self-evident if you study this particular treatment. They're designed to make it safer for you, mentally safer, as you think about this pending purchase. What is the difference? Well, here's the two. See the testimonials, customer support, live chat, the supporting column. Another testimonial, a credibility indicator below the call to action. And as you look at that simple change, it's got to be worth something. But how much is it really worth? Well, let's look at the control and the treatment, and let's all acknowledge why these are important changes. They're not that dramatic. The problem is we're not optimizing web pages here. Remember, we're optimizing thought sequences. And anxiety is often hidden, and it may be far more lethal to your purchase process than you understand at this point. It certainly was for this group, because once we got done, we produced 11.6% in the increase, and that is in revenue per conversion. What does that actually mean? Well, if you cut to the bottom line, it is a $53 million annual increase in revenue. So what's going on here? Well, by reducing anxiety, even if it doesn't seem like it's that significant a change, it's not a significant change on the page, but it is a significant change in the mind. And the more we think about it that way, the more we understand it in that way, the more we're able to find it and correct it. So there's some principles that will help you do that. And I want to touch those swiftly. By the way, I only have one more critical point, and then we're going to look at live optimization, the examples you've submitted, and take the remaining moments of our time together and hammer through those pages, trying to help you see this in action. We have, believe it or not, just 10 minutes to cover all of this content. So stay with me, and I'll take you as fast as I can and keep it as dense as I can with help. So let's look at some principles. You can't fix anxiety. I'm going to summarize that point with a rational solution. Because anxiety is often irrational. And even if it has a legitimate root, it's often an overreaction. And so you have to overcorrect it. And also you have to notice that it's localized. It's right there at the point when someone experiences a stimuli. And that happens in their mind in a sort of chronological sequence, which should be tied to the vertical flow of the page. As I've often said, we match the chronology of the page or the geography of the page to the chronology of the mind. And that's what's happened in these examples, and it brings me to the third point. To properly address anxiety, you've got to look at the very specific concern, and right where it occurs, you attempt to overcorrect it. So, not this. The word register itself creates anxiety, but this. Create my secure account and look at underneath it all of those corrections in terms of third-party credibility indicators that help address the anxiety. And by the way, those seals are an attempt to overcorrect the problem. Does it work? Yes. It drives up 12% more in conversion. And 12% at that level, 12% right there, has a huge impact on revenue, on the P&L. In fact, you can see not this, but this. What's the difference? Look at that. Look at that highlighted piece down here, driving a testimonial right beneath there where they might be concerned. How significant is that? How important is that? It yields, yet again, a 12% increase. Such a simple change for such a dramatic financial gain. Brings me to the fourth point. The fourth key, undirected choices. Now, we'll explain that by looking at another example. This is Test Protocol 1294. And drawing again from our library, it's the world's largest library of case studies and experiments, we see where a B2C company is offering package vacations to a sort of global consumer audience, and they want to complete cart completions. They've got to improve this ratio. So which page will generate the highest rate? Well, here's the control. Audience, what would you do? What's wrong with this control? What changes would you consider making? I'm watching your thoughts. Will this, okay, good. There's problems with, you could improve the headline. You could consider what's going on with the tabs at the top. You might consider the way the price is being reflected. You might consider what you would place around that price point to reduce anxiety and add more credibility, says Daniel. And Steve puts his finger right on the problem. There are competing options. There are three buttons equally weighted. Now, we could address many of the other elements that are being raised by you right now as you complete this analysis with your suggestions. But let's just focus on that. These three evenly weighted options slow down the visitor. Remember about velocity? Remember the push and the pull? Well, that push has them coming forward. You reach out and pull them with appealing elements through one microyes at a time. And as you do so, they start to pick up speed. And you minimize friction. And you're getting them closer and closer to the purchase. And suddenly they hit this page. And when they do, they have to stop. Because they can't keep moving at that speed because they've got to slow down and think. And they've got to analyze. View lodging options. Add more activities. What are activities? What sort of activities are they talking about? Check out without lodging. If I check out without lodging, what does that mean? And can I add lodging later? Do you see the thoughts? Do you see how the thoughts become lost in trying to sort through the options? What occurs? We lose people here. Velocity is retarded, and because of that, conversion is mitigated. So what do we do? It's a simple fix. We simplify this, and we de-emphasize the additional options. We bury that within the product details and make it only important when it's time for it to be important. What's the result of that? 37% increase in total cart conversions. That's a dramatic gain in the cart. Little gains in the cart have more impact, most often, than large gains or big gains at the beginning of the funnel. What can we learn? Giving the customer more choices does not always produce more conversions. In fact, one of the greatest impediments to conversion is multiple options. And when possible, the shopping cart should not lead a prospect to a set of potential options, but rather to a primary option. We have to beware of too much unsupervised thinking. Indeed, not this, but this. What's the difference? 64% increase in conversion. Not this, but this. What's the difference? A 78% increase in conversion. Now, I've said all of that to suggest to you these key principles that we hope you take away in this very short session we have together, but I am not done. I want to take you through to live optimization. I was asked, in fact, I teased him on the way in here by Austin to remind you that we have a summit coming up in San Francisco. Now, I got in trouble last time because I breezed through one of these slides and apparently I didn't say it clearly enough. But within the next 7 days, for our Web Clinic attendees and no one else, you can save the $200 if you register for the summit. I think I said it right, Austin, Paul? Okay, there's a promo code they tell me on the next slide. You need that code in order to get that savings. All right, they're going to tweet that code so I can keep teaching. All right, I want to keep teaching. Here we go. So here is the first submitted to us by Carfax. And the steps to the current page are the storefront, and then they order reports, and then they come to this page. The target audience is consumers looking for data on a vehicle. I'd like the audience to help me rather quickly. I only have a few moments left. 5 minutes to be precise, and we're going to try to do more than one page by doing this fast. What would you do? More vertical, get rid of the LH sidebar, says Brandon. Remove the left-hand navigation, says Paul. And other options are coming in. Another says remove the left margin. And try a more popular option, or most popular option, says David. Too many of the same or too much of the same color. I want to stop there for just a moment and look at the page. First of all, it says select your package. And it does have one option emphasized over the other. My first experiment would be to try and redisplay those three options in different ways, looking for that one which will produce the highest gain and also the highest overall revenue. It may well be that there's a better way to display those options. You should test pre-check radio button, just the simple approach. You should check or test more appealing graphics or visuals representing each report, with one perhaps circled or with a red underline or green line all the way around it, border emphasizing most popular or best value. And you should probably test at least two other approaches to displaying that particular choice. Another thing you might consider is the order of the choice. It might be possible for you to have them provide the information and then ask for the choice at the very end of the process. Checking the order of that might produce something else. And then the checklist on the left looks important, but it actually appears to be navigation. In fact, people called it navigation when they were making suggestions. I would consider moving that on the left to the right and making it look less like navigation. I would also make certain that people understood clearly that that was a list of benefits. I don't think that's apparent, and many people would just breeze over it and not pay attention. I think that the view a sample report feature is very good, but it's in the wrong location on the page. Upper left-hand corner is not where you want it, probably on the right-hand side. And then I would experiment with bringing those buttons, or down below, those credibility indicators, closer to the Buy Now button. I would also experiment with the words on the button to see if there is, within compliance, within legal compliance, a better term that promises value to the person who is looking with this page. I hope you find that helpful. And if so, and you make some changes, send that page to us with your thoughts, and at Mech Labs we'll try to help you here at Marketing Experiments, which is if you don't understand, Mech Labs is the science group that powers Marketing Experiments. So then, let me take you to another live op. I have 2 minutes left. Let's go to another page. This is Survive Naturals, and this is the storefront, and this is the cart. They come from storefront to cart to this page. Audience, what could you do to this? Tell me in 30 seconds. 30 seconds, because I'm going to start speaking. It needs images, says Mary Stein. It needs hard to see. It needs a clear next step, says Libby. It needs a security seal. I agree, says Puna. Fenced in fields is a mistake, someone says. Looks like a periodic table, says Brensley. That's an interesting thought. Green checkout. Which one is the button? Tighten up the height. Needs a testimonial, someone said. All right, let's look at the page, and let me give you some quick comments. First of all, I wouldn't use the word my shopping cart. I'd use a more powerful headline that justifies the reason. Tell them it's the shopping cart, but use something that encourages them to complete the process. Secondly, the page has no value embedded on it. I would use some of that white space to emphasize the special value associated with this purchase or any purchase from this store. In addition to that, I would be very careful about proceed to checkout, the secure checkout being a red button. Red often denotes alarm and hurts conversion. Thirdly, I would look at all other aspects of anxiety on this page and try to do something that reduces anxiety. More importantly, if they click, what happens next? Finally, the problem at the bottom is the new customers and returning customers page requires you to look at it several times and scan your eyes up and down to understand. In fact, beneath this PayPal, you have three buttons arranged in the form of an inverted triangle and creating confusion for the person who's got to make the decision right now. I would de-emphasize returning customers, emphasize new customers, and make it clear returning customers are already going to be a little bit more familiar and find it easier. There's more that we might do, but I'm out of time. If you found today helpful, would you take a few moments, use your Q&A and start talking to me? There's a survey you can participate in, but I start reading the Q&A before I walk out of the studio, and I'd like to get your immediate, imminent feedback on if you got enough value here to justify your time. We're trying so hard to help you get as much as you can in the limited time that we have together. And I want to thank you. Thank you for your investment in time, and please, if you found today helpful, tell a friend so that we can build the largest community in the world that are essentially evidence-based marketers learning and growing together as we conduct experiments. I appreciate all of you. Look forward to seeing you at one of our events. Hopefully, I'll see some of you at the summit coming up in San Francisco. Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to this recording of a Marketing Experiments Live web clinic. You can sign up to receive invites to future live web clinics, as well as receive access to $10 million worth of internet marketing research at marketingexperiments.com.